Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I, of course, want you to come holler at me, and the way you can come holler at me is 347-826-7435. That is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. You a little too afraid to call in? Y'all know what I'm going to say. Email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. I have not got any emails or comments or anything from y'all. It's been a minute. I'm not feeling the love. Where's the love? Where's the love? Where's the love? Anyway, I'm not going to torture y'all with my melodious voice. SmoothDrama@SmoothDrama.com. Can I get a question? Can I get a comment? Can you tell me how, you know, you like the curvature of the balls? Something. Anyway, also, you can hit us up on the Smooth Drama page on Facebook. I have Twitter. Just hit a brother up. Wherever you Google Smooth Drama, wherever you find Smooth Drama, hit me up. We can talk a taste on it. But, you know, I like hearing from y'all. I like conversing, interaction. That's what I'm talking about. Now, don't get me wrong. We get a lot of action on the Smooth Drama page. We have a good time. But, you know, I like to get some stuff. Tell me what you feel about what I'm talking about sometimes. You know, so I can feel good inside. I can rub my chest and feel good. Like Stephen Mills was talking about, feeling good all over. Anyway, I'm getting a little too hot and personal there. If you're in the chat room, hit a brother up also. In the meantime, wow. I read something, and I don't think I speak to the brothers enough. Do I have a call here? Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. Hey, how you doing? This is Mr. Research calling from Utah right now.
Okay, how you doing, brother?
Life is great. Life is great. Why do you feel you don't talk to the brothers enough?
Well, I think I've said a lot of things that I speak to the sisters, and I wanted to talk. I was actually leading into what I was going to talk about tonight. I read something, and it's my message to the brothers. So it's not necessarily I don't speak to the brothers, because I actually, you know, I speak to the brothers all the time. Community, playing ball. I run into my share of brothers, and we have our share of conversations. It was just something I was leading into, so I didn't want to say that I never talked to the brothers, but tonight I got something especially for you, man.
Well, that sounds good, man. I'm gonna listen to it. I run Brotherhood Lessons on YouTube, so I always try to help the brothers as much as possible, because they're in this state of mind where, respectfully, everything mom taught them doesn't really work. And then these dudes get out here and get real confused, they get violent, they get emotional, and they really going off the information mom gave them, and they haven't run into an alpha dude to really balance that theory out. So you got
okay.
A lot of these dudes. As a matter of fact, before I let you go ahead, when you notice on YouTube and places where these boys are getting more violent, they majority of them are not coming from two-parent homes. Majority of them are not coming from single-father homes. It's these overly emotional dudes. And while you have maybe 100,000 or 200,000 that come from single-mother homes that come out okay or great, the vast majority of millions of these young dudes are just off the chain. But I'm going to sit back and listen to your thoughts.
All right. Well, one, after the show, hit me up. Email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. I'd like to talk a little bit more with you about this, because this is definitely a subject that I love talking about. And, you know, as someone who deals with young men on a daily basis, I think it's something that definitely needs to be approached and broached on a deeper level. So I'll talk to you, brother. Thank you for calling and listening. All right. Now, what I was going to say, you know, respectfully speaking, I read an article, and, you know, I hear stats, especially when you hear stats from white folks, you know, you tend to like, yeah, I'm not feeling this. But it was funny. It caught my eye, because according to some group, 80% of the men in Atlanta are gay. And I was like, you know, my message to the brothers is, now's the time to go back to the South. I mean, if you was thinking about a move, it wasn't working out for you somewhere. If you're a heterosexual male, black male, if 80% of the guys in Atlanta are gay, hey, now's your chance, man. Repair, you know, we always talk about repairing the relationships between black men and black women, but it seems like if 80% of the men in Atlanta are gay, it's a prime opportunity. If you haven't spoken to a black woman before and you have a hard time, I'm thinking you'll have ample chance in the Atlanta area. Just a thought. Because I care. And, you know, I know a lot, we ran from the South. I'm not saying we, but just we in particular, because of integration and Jim Crow in the 50s and 60s. And a lot of people moved from out of the South in the 70s when, you know, integration allowed for you to go and live where white people live, and instead of understanding that it just, you had the right to have the same rights as them. You didn't have to necessarily be like them. You decided to be like them anyway. And I'm saying that's not working. So, and if you're a brother, because, you know, I play ball in the gym, and I hear the brothers talking about, you know, the women and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm not saying that it's a cure-all to go someplace. I mean, because I'm in the Bay Area. And most folks know that here in the Bay Area, there is a lot of men who are gay. This is like Atlanta is quote unquote the black gay capital. I mean, we can say that the Bay Area is 1A or 1B, depending on how you want to look at it. So I'm saying, if you was having a problem speaking to the sisters, you may have a chance in Atlanta. I'm joking, but I'm not joking. How you all take it? In the meantime, Brock Turner, y'all remember him, the white cat who was sentenced, but the judge who is up for recall right now. I mean, over a million people signed signed a petition to remove that judge. Well, Brock Turner is getting out tomorrow. If you don't know who Brock Turner is, he's the white guy that raped the white woman, sent the pictures to his homies. And he was sentenced by a jury of his peers, but the judge decided, you know, that 20 minutes of action, as they called it, shouldn't affect him negatively. And thus, he reduced his sentence to 6 months, And then they decided to reduce his sentence 3 more months because of good behavior, even though he's in protective custody, where he wasn't even he wasn't with the general population. So it's kind of hard to have it's kind of hard to have bad behavior if you interact with no one. I mean, basically what you would have to do is like punch the cell and threaten to kill yourself or something stupid like that for them to, I mean, how can you not have good behavior? You eat, take a squat, and work out by yourself. That's good behavior. So he got 3 months shaved off because they made sure that he didn't deal with anybody. Now, I'm not going to say white privilege or anything foolish like that, but I am, because that's what it is. I mean, and we ain't even going to say white privilege. I mean, it's just, that's the law of the land. That's how it's always been. I mean, you talk about he's convicted, and the judge is like, nah, y'all too stupid to understand the implications of what you're doing to this perfectly fine young white man who, hey, let's just say she was knocked out. She didn't even know he got some 20 minutes of action, as they call it. Shouldn't ruin his life, even though it ruins her life. Shouldn't ruin his. Because as we know in America, women's lives and how they're affected by rape doesn't really matter. And as I've talked about on the show before, oppressors can't convict oppressors. And Brock Turner is an oppressor. Period, point blank. So just so you know, if you're a lady in the Bay Area and if you happen to run across Mr. Turner, make sure to spit on him or accidentally run him over. Or, well, I'm not going to say I'm advocating violence against the young man, but I mean, if you got a chance to spit on him, please do. Make sure you have your kid. If you have a grown teenage son or, you know, an adult male with you, so at least if he tried to get at you, attack you, whatnot, you know, he would think twice because he's like, I don't want to take that ass whooping. Just a thought. I mean, he deserves to be spit on or something. Somebody spit. I mean, just be out there, throw an egg at him. Something. He needs some good behavior. So wherever he is, I don't know what white collar jail he's been in, but if you can find out, go on out there and give him a piece of your mind. Let him know that if you saw him in your side of town, you would spit on him. I mean, I would spit on him if I saw him. Take it. Love it. But we not going to end this segment on hate. I am going to talk about some hate. I got to talk about the hater of the week, these clowns. I know y'all heard about the clowns in South Carolina who were, you know, multiple reports of clowns trying to lure kids into an abandoned house in the woods. There was another clown encounter in Columbus, Ohio. Shout out to Miss 100% up that way. Keep your kid in the house. Apparently they have clowns. And this clown was in black clad, armed with a knife, wearing a clown mask. And it's like, I mean, it's, you know, I joke about it, but it's like clowns. Dude is like, I'm going to dress up as a clown and attack folks? Really? I mean, wow. That's where we at. Clowns. Hater of the week. Anybody who wants to dress up as a clown, and try to do harm to people. I mean, I don't think clowns are funny personally. I personally only do it because I only mess around with clowns because my son is definitely afraid of them. He's been afraid of them all his life. And every now and again, I may shoot a clown thing to him via email, text, or whatnot, to which he says I'm an evil father. But, hey, it is what it is. You got to have fun with it. But to these clowns that take that seriously, come on, man. Stop it. But, like I said, I'm not gonna end the segment on clowns. I gave a shout-out to the brothers. Let me give a shout-out to the ladies. Apparently, there's a online hashtag that's going around called Thighs for Joe. It was created by a South African-based Twitter user called Mixo, who goes by Miho Online. And according to the this Mixo, they are big up in black women to tweet pictures of their thighs. They want you to show off your thighs, and that you shouldn't. And they're saying that you shouldn't be afraid to show off your thighs, especially in the summer heat. And so they shared a picture of themselves using the hashtag, and it inspired other South African social media users to join her in creating a space where women, specifically black women, embrace their thighs, and no matter how thick, whatever, they were all posting pictures of their thighs. And it made me think, like, man, I appreciate the black thigh. Doesn't matter what hue, I appreciate the black thigh. And so I say we should join in on this. I mean, obviously I'm gonna ask for those who want to get involved with it, please to if you're going to tweet, you can go to my tweet at Smooth Drama and tweet a picture of your beautiful black thighs. I'm you know, if you want to be down with it, I'm cool with it. If not, I understand, but I think it's a beautiful thing. And if you want to do that, I am your guy. Please, let's big up the black woman showing off your thighs. And if you're not fired up about it, it's not your cup of tea, I'm gonna let the brand Nubians try to get you fired up. It's the brand Nubians. I'm black and I'm proud. Get up and dance. Say it.
Got you hanging by the seat of your pants. All media stands. When we came to the game, was completely advanced. sounds the same. 7 and 1 half ounces of brain. When we around, make sure you bow down to the king. Brand new and staff. That's how we do our thing. Feel good, real good. Scream it out loud if you're black and you're fresh.
Black and I'm proud. Say it. Scream it from the rooftop. I do. That was like the fourth time I've heard that song today. I was on the roll and was like, you know, I'm just feeling black and I'm proud today. Yeah. I'm going to keep it rolling like that. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Speaking of which, you know, it's one of my favorite parts of the show. I get to talk about the dumbass of the week. All right. Always got to get that last burp in. Dumbass of the week goes to Amy Sharp out of Australia, Sydney, Australia to be exact. She's a fugitive on the run. She saw the mug shot that the police was giving out for folks try to catch her. Apparently, Ms. Sharp hated the mug shots that the police gave out to the media, and she attempted to supply photos she considered more flattering. she escaped from a correctional facility where she was being held on property offenses, and you know she was considered a low risk to the public. And you know it was no big deal. They put out little books and asked for the public health, including two photos of her with a blanket over her shoulder. And she's like, "Nah, that wasn't cool." She went to a TV station and gave them a picture. She replied to the post on Facebook asking that the police pics be replaced with something else. She ended up getting like 60,000 likes, which, I mean, she can enjoy all of them in jail. But, I mean, you escape, but you're upset at the mugshots. And you hit up on Facebook, "Hey, I got to give you some better pictures." Brain surgeon. This is why you stay in school. All adults, teach your kids, stay in school, and if you see them posting stupid stuff on Facebook, smack the shit out of your kids. I'm just saying, because they can go to jail and then get out of jail and get caught because they are dumb enough to post on Facebook. This social media thing, boy, it kills me because folks post their lives on Facebook and Twitter. You mean you see folks living out their lives, all the drama in their life for their whole social network to see? I've never understood that phenomenon. I mean, it's kind of scary. You know, folks talk about Big Brother and all that. Big Brother ain't got to follow you. You telling all your business. They don't need to spy on you. You do all the spying for yourself. Y'all even like shows where like the TMZ. I'm gonna say this until I drop dead. How TMZ and the National Enquirer and all these other shows that I dig into other folks' business, how y'all love it, I don't know. I mean, because basically they're stalking folks, and I guess because people on TV, you love it. But the fact that you love people who stalk other people and you don't mind telling your own business also, it's like an indictment on society, social media. I'm just saying. And speaking of dumb people, Jerry Rice. I know most people have heard, you know, Jerry Rice came out on Colin Kaepernick, and, you know, I've talked about it, but it's what bothers me about this is the fact that, you know, when Colin Kaepernick makes a supreme gesture for social justice, people who have never sacrificed a goddamn thing, have never stood for anything. And so Jerry Rice's and all these, the plethora of athletes who've gone out and say, oh, well, he shouldn't have did that because, no, fuck you. Where was you at? And where is your humanity? Because y'all, every last one of them paraded out, they all say the same, talking about the flag. The same flag that's accosted you and your people for your whole existence in this country from its inception. You're not talking about the injustice. You're talking about the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. It's a lot of veterans. Show contributor Marco, who is a veteran, who's like, yeah, that ain't how we think. And he was out there firing bullets. And he's like, that ain't how we think. We don't fight for oppression. So all these folks who want to hide behind the military, and I'm not even talking about the quote unquote regular people. I'm talking about these punk ass celebrities who have never stood for shit in their life. Never stood up for social justice, you know, donate some money, whatnot, speak at a camp for some kids. You know, Jerry Rice, I love the kids. I do the camps. I'm a positive influence, blah, 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 blah. But when some negative shit is happening and those same kids are looking to you as a role model to stand up for them when shit is bad, are you on their team? No. You're on the other side. That's what I'm talking about. See, because you ain't a role model for the kids. You ain't a positive role model for the kids. When this, because this, as a black male, I'm a young black male, you know, Jerry Rice is at the camp, you know, and that's all good, But they're affected by this because, hey, it could be them. Because we ain't talking about criminals. I'm talking about my little homies that are innocent. Who stands up for them? Colin Kaepernick is like, no. So long as there's oppression and we can't talk about it, I can't stand up for this flag. What do super Negroes do? Super Negroes are like, no. Man, it ain't about the social justice. Look what you doing. You demeaning all the people who fought for the... Man, you ain't speaking for nobody but your punk ass self and your wallet. Ain't never spoke up for nothing. Ain't never gonna speak up for nothing positive in your communities. I mean, you know, Jerry Rice, as Willie D said quite eloquently, you are a coon. I will continue to say super Negro because there's a new term for it. The house Negro who has special magical powers now. You know, they used to talk about that magical Negro that navigates through everything. You know, the myth of Jackie Robinson and how he navigated through all that to be a better person so they can integrate baseball and all that. And so they never talked about how that shit killed him, taking all that hate. I mean, it takes a special kind. And I by no means am I calling Jackie Robinson a super Negro. I'm just saying it takes a special person to be able to take that supreme hate. And conversely, for these athletes, super Negroes, it takes a special kind of person to ignore all the bad things that happen in the communities that are filled with people who look like you, who, you know, he would say, oh yeah, I went through the struggle. I pulled myself up via my bootstraps. You know, they do that story. And I worked hard and dedicated myself. And you see, if you do the same thing, you can get it. I mean, the only thing that the last thing I heard about Jerry Rice was, oh, when he admitted that he used Stick'Em. That's the only thing I remember him coming out and saying. Aside from dissing Colin Kaepernick, shout out to Jerry Rice, super coon, super Negro. You are not my role model. And you used Stick'Em, so you was a cheater. Yeah. Greats of all time, my ass. I vote for everybody but you. Not that it matters. You know, because my opinion doesn't matter to a super Negro like Jerry Rice. But I'm going to say it anyway. And I'm going to guess there are more people who agree with me. You know, whether they agree that Jerry Rice is super Negro, but I'm guessing folks who are down with Colin Kaepernick, who may not have been down with him before, whether you like him as a quarterback, he gets cut, whatever, that's kind of irrelevant. I mean, the size of his heart, you can't measure that character to be able to do that, because it's one thing where you could say I can do it. I mean, because I haven't stood for the Pledge of Allegiance ever. You know, we was raised Jehovah's Witnesses, but you know, as my own personal choice growing up, and as a grown man, I personally go to games, and if I'm there early, I don't stand, and you know, I don't care. Fight me, or try to. I'm gonna fight back. But the point is, my not standing for the flag means nothing on the scale, because people don't know me like that. So I mean, you can say a lot of people know me, but they don't know me. But Colin Kaepernick, everybody's saying, oh, well, he's paid, but this is your livelihood. He is in his prime. And, you know, for athletes, the prime years of where you make your money. And he's definitely making a sacrifice, because we all know that when you stand for black people, it does not work out well for you. I mean, there is no example in history where it worked out for that great athlete who stood up for black folks. And just, I mean, unless somebody can show me different, I haven't seen it. And I mean, Muhammad Ali, yeah, he's the greatest, but I'm guessing he would have traded his latter years for what happened to him. And I mean, I've always been of the opinion that, you know, a lot of these things that happen to black athletes, I've always thought that, you know, they're injected with something. Like, I will always believe that every one of these diseases that come out, they're man-made. That's just me. And so it for me, it's a pattern. Support black folks, bad things happen to you in this world. I'm guessing, and I'm by no shape or of the imagination am I supporting that. Hey, we can get ours in the afterlife. No, we should get ours now. But I'm guessing on the next level, you get treated a little bit better, no matter what the next level entails, as far as moving on to the next, whatever you believe. Whatever the next phase of our existence is, I think because of who you are, you are elevated. But that's just me. But not elevated is Ferguson. I know people know about Ferguson, but I don't know if y'all knew what else went on there. Ferguson is going bankrupt. Because when not only did they come down on the police there, they came down on their policies. Apparently in Ferguson, there was a revenue shortfall because they. How do I say this? They picked on the black community with tickets and other municipal fines to increase the revenue for the city. And so once that was cracked down on by the U.S. Department of Justice, they've gone bankrupt. And they now went from a full police office to like ten part-time dispatchers. They got like five full-time dispatchers and a bunch of part-timers, and they have very few police officers. They're down to from 54 officers on their force to like 36, and the report that came out where they talked about how Ferguson's law enforcement practices were shaped by the city's focus on revenue rather than by public safety needs. It just means like we've heard the rumors that the police have quotas. Apparently, it was found out that they do have quotas. Now, obviously, it's not something that they talk about. I mean, but, you know, we know because it's like black folks would always complain about that driving while black. And the hassle was, okay, at some point in time, you're going to be pulled over not because you was guilty or something, but just because you was black, and we all used to suffer through that. Where now that it is ramped up to the next level, where now we get pulled over, we can be shot and killed in Ferguson. You know, it was more than likely to happen. They were out and out with it. It was basically like it was black Cody-ian, Jim Crow-ian, just out and out. And now that it's been cracked on, it's been cracked open and exposed. They've lost their officers. Now, it's funny how a area can go bankrupt because their whole financial system was built on taking money from us. And if they couldn't take money from us, they have nothing. Funny how that goes, huh? I'm going break. And I was just feeling, because I'm just feeling black today. Maybe it's a suntan. I have some extra vitamin D this week. I don't know. But I'm just thinking brand new again. This is you for me.
Why are you so excited? You scared of success.
together you've got smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer. That was Brand Nubian once again. You for me. No, me for you. One for all. That's the way we should do. I know that's the way I do. And I'm hoping that that's the way that we do going forward. Because, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I think we need each other a little bit more than we ever had before. Because it's one of those pivotal points in time where you kind of see, and I know it's election year and things are polarizing. I'm not paying attention to elections. I'm just talking about a spirit in the people in general. I mean, I saw, you know, Game and Snoop Dogg organized Bloods and Crips to come together, and we've seen that before. And you know, I call for everyone like the brother that called in earlier. You know, we all should come together. I think what happens in these scenarios, people come together, lose focus, and they focus on what our divisions are instead of focusing on what we have in common. I mean, there's no group that's going to be monolithic. People are going to disagree on stuff, but you would think that amidst all the organizations that we have, what's the core? We feel like we've been mistreated and we want to be treated. We want to be normal. I mean, when people ask that question, I would say we just want to be normal. I want to be able to get in the elevator without somebody clutching their purse. You know, I'm tired of saying in my head, Heifer, I don't want your purse. Or, you know, folks having misconceptions about you, you know, being stopped by the cops and killed by the cops, or just being stopped by the cops in general, even though you haven't done a damn thing wrong. I mean, there are a lot of things that we have to process that other people don't have to process. Different ways that we have to be and react and have to explain ourselves. I mean, because generally, white folks In other cultures, they aren't defined by their fringe movement. We're the only group who is defined by their fringe movement, because there is no race that doesn't have a fringe movement that is crazy as hell and just out of control. But we're defined by ours. And I say, you know, I mean, I look at it, I take the page from the great Malcolm X, when he said, after his Hajj, I want to work with anyone who wants to work with me. I forget everything they said about me, and I hope they forgot about all the bad things I said about them. You know, he was at that place where it's like we should be able to work together on anything. We should be able to be focused on what we should be focused on. How do we address our ill treatment here? Period, point blank. I mean, for all the folks talking about Colin Kaepernick, had a couple teammates, stood up with him. Had a Seattle Seahawk do the same thing right up the coast. So, I mean, folks can talk, but protests can grow. It doesn't need to be mainstream, and it doesn't matter what the majority, because what they say the majority of folks think, that is not really a majority. It's a few idiots, hateful bigots, who they are for the oppression of us. So they lash out. We can't kowtow to the oppressors in every which way they try to oppress us by circumventing our protests. You know, talking about how, you know, we're too violent when we riot, but we're doing it wrong when a man just sits down, silent protest. Go figure. I mean, but do they protest the Pentagon reports, like the one I read where Pentagon officials are allowing their employees to use government credit cards at strip clubs and casinos? No disciplinary action. New report that was released Tuesday. And this is the report from the Department of Defense Inspector General. He found that management did not take the correct course of action after finding out that their workers used government credit cards for non-work-related purposes. Now, just think about that for a second. That's a big deal. Department of Defense workers spent nearly $100,000 at a strip club and, I quote, adult entertainment establishments, and almost $1 million at casinos. And this was from a May 2015 audit. And this was at the request of the Senate Committee on Armed Services. The Inspector General further investigated the matter. And according to the report, out of the sample of 30 government card holders, 22 sought and received reimbursements on 131 vouchers totaling $8,544. And, you know, furthermore, the officials, they said, did not consider the security implications of improper personal use of the travel card. So not only did they use it, but they got reimbursed also. So it's like double. They got to use it, and they got paid on our dime twice. $1 million at the casino, $100,000 at the strip club, and other adult entertainment establishments, whorehouses. That's not a big deal, right? I don't see folks out there in front of the Department of Defense. They're not in front of the Pentagon protesting. They're burning Kaepernick jerseys. But he hasn't done anything to personally affect you. He has not done not one thing. Him sitting down for the Pledge of Allegiance hurt who? These cats? Taxpayer dollars, you know, yours and mine. You know, we people, we thousandaires who pay taxes, because most millionaires and billionaires don't really pay their fair share of taxes. We thousandaires, we pay these taxes, and we're paying for this. And this is just random people. You know, because as they said, out of a sample of 30 government cardholders, I'm guessing if we went through all of them on a very, very tight budget, we would find that these type of shenanigans are commonplace. No outroar for that, you know, money coming out of their pocket. Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. Real money, $1 million. over $1 million gone. Kaepernick sitting down, end of the world. This shit, nothing. I mean, I even go any further. I don't know if any of y'all saw that leaked memo that that came from elected Democrats to the House of Representatives. It warned its candidates in an internal memo leaked online where they the document is from the personal computer. The guy who leaked it was Guccifer 2.0, and Guccifer claims that the document is from the personal computer of House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat out of California. Now, a number of the cybersecurity firms and Democrats have attributed to the leaks to the Russian hackers. Guccifer has said, no, I don't work for the Kremlin. So the memo says presidential candidates have struggled to respond to tactics of the Black Lives Matter movement. And what they said, don't offer support for the concrete policy positions of Black Lives Matter protesters. Now, they go on to say, while there has been little engagement with House candidates, candidates and campaign staff should be prepared. This document should not be mailed or handed to anyone outside the building. Please only give campaign staff these best practices in meetings or over the phone. Now, I don't mean to laugh, but, you know, when Donald Trump was like, yeah, well, you know, y'all gonna vote for Democrats and they gonna take your vote and say, see you in 4 years, wasn't really that far-fetched. Now, obviously, I don't endorse either of them. If you've listened to my show, you know, I'm like, they're all the devil. And you're voting for evil no matter which one you vote, because they're all part of the same power structure. And, I mean, would you be shocked that they would send emails or whatnot talking about, hey, don't support Black Lives Matter or any black organization or group that are trying to improve the plight of their people? I don't think most who listen to this show are shocked by that, even though I'm sure there's somebody who's outraged by it. But as I always say, shit, that's just par for the course, right? That's their game, golf, and red par again. And on that note, I want to thank everybody for listening. I am Mr. F the N-Word, and this is another Smooth Ground production. Look for them thigh pictures, ladies. Shoot them thighs my way. We gonna blow up Twitter. Black thighs. I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drummer. Smooth.